I'm gonna preach fast and say I was gonna preach short. I just said I was gonna preach fast, and now I'm gonna try to get everybody out of here at a decent hour. It's all relevant. What that decent hour is. Yeah. All right. Psalm 126. Get your Bibles out. It'll be there. They'll have it up on the screens, and you can read along with us if you don't have a Bible. All right. Psalm 126. We will read the whole chapter. Okay. Six verses. So y'all calm down. All right. Now, Bible says this: when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Verse number 3 reiterates and says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And passage of scripture is chapter 126 is a song, the Bible says, of degrees. A little bit of study I've done on it, what they say about it, it says that it's believed to be written by some of the sons of Asaph. As you see titles all through the Psalms, you see Asaph's name mentioned, and this is some of the sons. Somebody even attributed it to Ezra, but it was written at a time, it is believed, when they were returning from exile. Now, I read also somewhere where somebody said that it was possible that this was written concerning David and his return after Absalom had tried to overtake the kingdom. But I think it's more fitting right where we started off at, and that is in the remnant or the exile, those that have been exiled, those that were in captivity in Babylon, now returning, probably more likely in the time of Ezra and, of course, Nehemiah. And so, as we look at this morning, I want you to look and focus on the first verse, because everything is dependent upon the very first verse, all right? And the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. I want you to focus on just that little phrase right there, when the Lord turned. I want you to know something this morning, that I believe that many Christians and many people are living still in captivity. I believe that there's a lot of folks that are living in bondage. We know that if you are lost in this building, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, then you are living in bondage of sin. That means that sin still has a hold of you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and tell you how good you are. I'm going to let you know that if sin has a hold of you, then the wrath of God is the end result of that sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's many today that are in our churches that are living in captivity. They may not know the terminology, and they may not recognize the fact that they are living in bondage, but they have not been set free. And according to the Bible, if the Son hath made you free, I need somebody to help me right here, you are free indeed. And so those of us that have had an experience with the Lord, and we have been saved by His blood, then we know all about being delivered from captivity. But this is, in the context, a story about Israel going back into captivity. And so not only can we learn, and not only can we apply this to the lost man, but we can also apply this to those of us that are saved. Because there are many times that you and I hold ourselves in captivity. Now, I said that on purpose, all right? Some of y'all are looking at me saying, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't holding myself in captivity. Well, according to that verse that I just read, if you are in captivity, it is of your own doing. Listen to this. It says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Yeah.
I need somebody to help me. If you're saying what that means for the believer is there's no, absolutely no reason for you to be in bondage. If you're lost, then what you need is to be set free. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, what you need this morning is to be turned loose and set free. You're saved in here this morning. Can I say this? So we're going to apply it both ways throughout the service this morning. But there's many that are saved today that are still living in captivity. Because they have placed themselves there. I need somebody to help this morning. They're not getting it. When you look at this passage of Scripture, we have all of the indicators that we are in captivity. The Bible says this about it. This is our main point, so we'll go back. But it says that once they return from their captivity, the Bible says that their dreams return. An excitement, if you will, about the things of God. The Bible says that their rejoicing returned. The Bible says that in verse number 2 here, it says that their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongue with singing. There was something that happened when they were turned loose. But when they were in bondage, these things did not happen. And we have a lot of Christians. I need some help this morning. Y'all help me now. There's a lot of Christians that are still living in bondage. You play the game. You know how to look. You know how to talk. You know how to act. But inside, you come in defeated. You come to church every Sunday night or every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. You come to church and you feel defeated, deflated. You feel like you're just going through the motions. You feel, I need somebody to help me now. I'm going to preach for 3 hours, all right? We come in and we act like we need somebody to pump us up. We act like we need something supernatural to happen for us to praise God and for us to worship God. Why is that? Because we've allowed ourselves to be in captivity since the last time we were in church. We've allowed something, whether it be something in our past, that holds us in captivity. Can I say this? There ain't a person in this building that doesn't have a failure in their life. But the difference is some of us have been turned loose from our failure, and some of us are still living in the shadow of it. And we're walking around, and we're still, no matter how much we think, and no matter how much we try to convince everybody else that we are over it, and we are done with it, we are not. And we're carrying it around, and it's like a set of chains on us, and it's got us locked down, it's got us chained down, and we come in and we can't even get. I'm talking about you come to church and you feel a little bit better walking out the door, but you still feel like you're dragging that burden with you. Failed relationships. Some of you ain't got over a divorce. Some of you ain't got over something that went wrong in a relationship, and you're still carrying it around with you. Some of you ain't got over something that went wrong in ministry. Somebody said something, they offended you. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
I've learned that everything offends everybody all the time now. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm not entitled to my opinion like you are entitled to yours. Oh, don't get up quiet on me right here. You share your opinion as long as my opinion's the same as yours, then we're all good. That's the society we live in. And if my opinion ain't the same opinion yours is, then all of a sudden you're offended. But just anywhere, I need somebody to help me right here. Man, bun, all kind of, I ain't in my life. There was a time when two men could disagree on something, shake hands, and talk it out. Now we're in a time when we're going to make a law, and we're going to take truth, and we're going to make it a lie, so that we don't offend somebody. And it's filtered right on into the church. Somebody says something to you and you get all bent out of shape. I'm going to go to the next church. You don't even go to a Baptist church. You go to some other church. Come on, help me now. At least have a standard enough to know what you believe. In my life, have somebody leave the church and go to a church of God. Go to a church of Christ. They don't believe nothing like we do. They don't believe at all like I do.
That's right.
Looking for somebody to agree with you so you don't get offended. And what it does, it puts you in captivity.
Yes,
you never experience full salvation because you're searching for something that agrees with what you agree on how you live your life and what you and the way you want to live. So we're in captivity. We think that coming into church and being a Christian is going to put us in bondage, but we're already there. We've already placed ourselves in bondage because everything has to be just like the woman. I need somebody else. We're living in a fear, or we're living in a failures of our past. We go all through the list of those things. Ministry failures. Some of you tried to do a Sunday school class, or you tried to do some other ministry around the church, and you just wasn't very good at it. And now you've allowed that to paralyze you from trying to do anything else in the church. Captivity. In bondage. Some of us, I need somebody to help me right here. Some of us are living in captivity because of sins. Oh, preacher. Now don't be calling out my sin, what I did last night. I'm not. I'm going to call out your sin, what you're doing right now. You got anger in your eyes. You got hatred. You got bitterness. You got pride. Wait a minute now.
Come on.
Hit me. Preacher, just call out my cousin, please. And we've allowed that to keep us captive. Somebody's done something. Come on, y'all. Goodness, man, y'all get quiet. That means I know I'm getting y'all. I know right where I'm at. Some of you are stuck in bitterness over something somebody said to you or done to you 10, 20, 30 years ago. And you're carrying them around. They've been long gone and left you, but you're dragging them around everywhere you go. I need somebody to help me right here. You drag them into the church house because they've done you wrong. You drag them into your car and talk to them the whole way to work. You drag them into your... Oh, I got one. You drag them into the shower. Woo! Hey, they would never be in the shower with you. Not a physical, but you'll take them right on in there in bitterness. Come on now. How many of you have ever come in here? I need somebody to be honest with the preacher right here. How many of you have ever been talking to somebody and your wife said, hey, who are you talking to in there? Say, Michelle, you hold on a minute. I'm going to punch him in the mouth. Bitterness. And it's got us captive. Y'all, listen to me. If you don't realize that you're a captive, then you never get turned loose. I need somebody to help me right here. If you're sitting there thinking I got it all together, then you don't. I know you didn't want to come here and hear that this morning, but I want you to know something. There's always something in our lives that keeps us captive.
That's right.
The fear of the unknown.
Right.
The fear of the unknown holds us captive. You know how many times I've had somebody walk into my church, into my office, and say, Brother Robin, they're doing layoffs. Yeah, but you ain't been laid off yet.
Right.
But Brother Robin, they're laying people off. Now, I'm not making fun of them. What I'm saying is that there's a fear of the unknown. And it paralyzes us. It paralyzes us to the point that we will run to the preacher and say, listen here. Brother Robbie, I need you to pray. I can't lose my job. Fear of the unknown? How about when it comes to your health? Y'all ain't never in my life. I went and had blood work done. I think I told this story, but I'm gonna tell it again because it happened to me. I went and had blood work done, and I went and had my yearly checkup and whatever. I had my yearly checkup to make up for the last 5 years that I didn't have a yearly checkup. And anyhow, they threw blood on me. And so anyhow, I'm just gonna be honest with y'all. I'm thinking to myself, y'all, I've been bad. And I'm thinking God's going to kill me, all right? I'm waiting for the bad news to come, right? So anyhow, they call me from the doctor's office with the results of my blood test, okay? And this is the phone call that I got. I let it go to voicemail. By the way, don't get offended by that. If I don't have your number plugged in, I'm not answering the phone. I get tired of, hey, your vehicle's going out of warranty, and this is what, I want to shoot them through the phone. Y'all hear me? There's nothing I cannot stand a telemarketer. There was a church, y'all please forgive me for this. There was a church around here that was they got people's cell phone numbers and was calling people up and inviting them to a Baptist church in town. They called me up, says, if you would like to, press one and you can leave a message for prayer on our phone system. So when I pressed the button, let's go. And I said, this is Brother Robbie Harrington from Calvary Baptist Church. And I'd just like to let you know I hate a telemarketer, even if it's got Baptist in the name. I said, stop calling me. Stop calling my people. Get off your fat, get off your butt and go out there and invite somebody to come to church and quit calling me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. I didn't hear from him for about 3 years, but he called me up recently wanting to sell me something. Another telemarketing preacher. Anyhow, they called me up and I let go to voicemail. Got the voicemail that says, hey, Robbie Harrington, whatever, I don't even know what they call him by name. We got your test results back from your blood work that was done. We need you to call us. Click. I'm in a tree. Oh my. Y'all, is everybody all right? I thought right then I got cancer. It's bad. It's probably stage 4. I'm going to die tomorrow. Y'all help me now. I'm talking about, hey, I went home and I didn't even tell Michelle. I just kind of walked around the house. You think I'm kidding, eh? I didn't call back. I'm like, I'm going to give this a few days. I didn't want to know. Y'all hear me? I did not want to know. The woman said, I got your test results. You need to call them. Hey, listen. Why can't they say, we got your test results and they're good? Yeah. Call us if you have any questions. Yeah. Yeah. We got your test results and you need to call us. Click. I told Michelle, I said, my test results, they're back. They want me to call. I'm sitting around, y'all, I'm telling you, paralyzed. I'm thinking I'm going to die. I called that woman back. I finally called them back. She's like, oh, Mr. Harrington, everything was great with your blood work. Everything looked good. Blood work. I'm like, are you kidding me? Next year when I come up for blood work, I'm sticking a needle in you.
Amen.
You kidding me? Why can't you just say everything was fine? If you have any questions, call me back. Why does it have to, man? For 2 days, I was like, I'm done. Michelle, you want to cremate me? So you can carry me around with you instead of burying me in one place way off? I'll buy her a lot to keep my ashes around her neck. So when any of them men try to come up and kiss her, she'll be like,
what'd you say?
I was captive. I was in bondage over a stupid phone call. How many times does that stuff happen in our life? Fear, I mean, just immediately takes over your life because of one thing that says. Couldn't imagine somebody that's going through cancer. Couldn't imagine what, come on now, I couldn't imagine what they're living through, the captivity, the fear of the unknown. Say, well, God's not giving us a spirit of fear. That's easy to say when you're healthy. That's easy to say when you're standing on the mountaintop. It's easy to say God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's easy to quote them Bible verses, but when you're living it, it's hard to tell yourself and convince yourself not to be afraid. And so we live in captivity.
Yeah, that's right.
And we drag it around. I want to preach 2 minutes. Or more. Say you don't have to live in captivity.
Amen.
I entitled this, When God Turns You Loose.
Yes.
When God turns you, somebody needs to be turned loose.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Somebody's walking around in captivity and you need to be turned loose this morning. I want you to notice it's right in the scripture. And we ain't going to sugarcoat it. Very first thing is that when God turns our captivity or turns us loose, our dreams return. And you know, when you're held captive and when you're in fear, there is absolute, come on now, what shuts off is anything, any aspirations, any potential that you might have had for yourself, anything that you've dreamed about doing, all of a sudden, all of that comes to a halt because you're dealing with a problem that's here in your face right now. But when we allow God to turn us loose, our dreams return. When you experience that freedom, when you experience being turned loose, all of a sudden the future looks brighter. And there's direction to our lives. But as long as we're in captivity, heaven right here, our dreams are gone. The Bible says that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Boy, ain't nothing like God restoring your vision.
Right.
Ain't nothing like God restoring your vision for ministry. Your vision, how about this? Your vision for your purpose.
That's right.
God has a purpose for your life, but when you're in captivity, you don't see that purpose.
That's right.
You don't see that purpose being fulfilled. And therefore, you live a life of just in the here and now. And listen, it ain't life of joy, which brings me to number two. Not only do our dreams return, but the return of our dreams, but then the rejoicing. The rejoicing of disciples. The Bible says this in verse number 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Hey, for 2 weeks I walked around with the mully grubs over a phone call. And when I got the news, come on now, a relief flooded my soul. How many of y'all have ever drank cold water on a hot day? And you feel it from the tip of your tongue. You feel it going down your esophagus. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. Right all the way. How many of you have ever had that experience with the Lord when you found relief? I'm talking about from here to there. It was almost as if God just took that load that was on you and
Amen. And
rejoicing. All of a sudden the mully grubs is gone. And let me see if I can demonstrate. Glory! Hallelujah! I'm not scared.
Pay attention next time, though, won't you?
She's with the preacher now. Hallelujah! Has anybody ever said that?
Come on.
No, I ain't talking about inside.
Come on.
I ain't talking about in your head.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it got so good to you that it come out of your mouth. It even sounded fun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? The rejoicing returns. Return loose. Those of you that are living in the bondage of sin, you've never experienced a good time. You've never experienced joy. We've replaced some things with something we call a good time. But that good time wears off. That good time turns into a hangover. That good time turns into another problem or another problem. I need somebody to help me right here. And there's no joy. But yet, you meet a Christian who's been turned loose and they seem to be excited. Well, let me say this. They ought to be excited about everything and have joy in their life. You ever met one of them people? Man, I heard you lost your job. Yeah, but God's good.
Yeah.
Huh? Man, if I lost my job, it'd bring me to my knee. Yeah, but God, my God will. He shall supply all my needs.
Amen.
You're just saying that because you're a Christian. No, they're saying that because they got joy.
Amen.
They've been set free. They're not in bondage. This morning, listen. Not only we have a return of our dreams, and not only we have a rejoicing of the disciples. Number 3, I want you to notice there's a recognition of the deliverer. The Bible says in verse number 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. Let me go back. Verse number 2, at the end of verse number 2, it said, the Lord hath done great things for them. That was the heathen. That was the lost people saying that. Then in verse number 3, the same people say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. You know what? When God sets you free, I need somebody to help me right here. You get mighty grateful about it. The recognition of the deliverer. They wasn't praising their efforts, and they wasn't praising what they were able to do. They said, yep, you're right. The Lord has. great things for us. Most Christians are living, and myself included, I don't give God thanks near enough. I don't appreciate the things God has done for me near enough. I stand there listening to people. Last night, Jason Graham got up there, and he said, me and my wife's been married 20 years. And 1,000 people are like, woo, woo. I say, I've been married 25, and she married the devil. Somebody say amen. How blessed am I? How blessed am I? I wasn't taking down nothing. I'm thankful a man's been married for 20 years. But I thought, man, how grateful I ought to be. I've been married 25 years, and that woman, she should have left she had good reason to leave. Here we are, still together today. I've trained her well. Almost got her trained. I almost turned her loose. But anyhow, I'm telling you, I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. I look at this church, and many of you, some of y'all weren't here from the beginning when I got here, but I'm thankful for where God has brought us. I'm thankful for the people that are still here, that was there with me back in 2012. I said, hey, preacher, we believe in what God's doing over here, and we want to stick around and see some results. And we moved, we put all kind of people in about 1,500 square foot. We packed all of us in there, about 260, 270 people in there every single morning to let God just move and get all over us. God has been good to us. We built this big old building. I remember the astronomical price as far as I was concerned when we started looking at that thing, saying $935,000 for this building and for the parking lot and for all the stuff that we had to do because we're in Lowndes County. We could have built the same building in Eccles for $10,000. I need somebody to help me. My brother-in-law, I was talking to him this week, and he said, next move, y'all need to move to Eccles County. I said, you doggone right. We could build a 17,000-seat auditorium for $20. Put Eccles on the map. Man, we got in that thing, and I thought, dear Lord, almost $1 million. We started doing renovation. I'm thinking, dear Lord, almost $1 million. How are we going to pay this off? Come on, y'all, help me now. God, I need somebody in my church to go out and sin and win the lottery and pay tithes. God, I need somebody that's rich. I need somebody to help me right here. God, I need somebody that's rich to just write a check and pay it off. Man, God started doing things in this church I ain't never seen in my life before.
Come on.
I ain't never in my life. I'm talking about people giving and people being good, people just loving what was going on and believing in what was going on. And we closed out alone. We not only built this building, did the parking lot and everything else, renovated the other two buildings, closed the loan out, and it was $400,000. And we done down around $250,000 now on knowing that. And we get ready. Somebody say amen. We're going to pay this thing off in a year. I promise you, we're going to pay this thing off in a year. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to pay this thing off in a year. I'm going to go in there in that bank. We're going to get that little piece of paper, and we're going to set a burn barrel right here. That baby's gone. Somebody help me.
That's right. Amen.
Man, God's been good to us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother Eddie came up to me this morning. He said, Brother Robbie, he said, I'm so thankful my daughter got saved.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, y'all, somebody help me. Somebody sitting in here can say, could God help this Calvary Baptist Church? Somebody sitting in here, could God have a, God took an interest in you, and now your whole family's sitting on the pew with you over there. They're all saved. All been set free. When we come into church and act like God's got to pry us to worship. Man, all of a sudden they started recognizing the heathen. Listen. This is so good. The heathen recognize. The Bible says, the heathen, those outside, they looked and they said, the Lord has been good to them.
Yes.
You know what? Ain't nowhere I'd go. Somebody asked me, where are you pastor at? Calvary Baptist Church in Lake Park. I've heard about that church. I've heard about that church. God put some things down there. I've heard, is everybody all right?
Yeah.
And then the next verse, you know what Israel said? You're right. God has been doing some things down there. You know what I tell them? They said, man, I've heard about about that church. God's doing some good things down there. Hey, you're right. God is doing some great things.
That's right. Amen.
God's doing some great things in all of our lives.
Yes, sir.
Lastly, I'm doing not only the recognition of their deliverer, but this was good. The reassurance of dividends. It ain't all powerful in it, but listen to this. The last verse, last two verses says this: they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Yes.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Glory to God.
I'm going to say this. We're not going to preach this right now, but I believe there's some prophecy in that.
That's right.
I believe if you and I get in there with Jesus and really know what Christ went through, we'd see there was a lot more tears shed.
That's
than
right.
Just in the Garden of Gethsemane.
That's right.
And when he comes again, oh, y'all come on and help me. He was bearing precious seed. When he comes again, no doubt, it'll be with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But this, I'll read that verse. Lord, help me right here. Israel's coming out of captivity. Whether you're saved in this building or whether you're lost in this building, this morning you can come out of captivity. Israel coming out of captivity. God, the Bible says that their dreams return. Their aspirations, their vision return. The Bible says that their rejoicing return. Man, they got excited. They were hollering and shouting, excited about being turned loose. I think the Bible says something about that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Bible says that there was recognition of the deliverer because God had set them free. They were grateful, they were thankful, and they attributed it to God. But then this verse hit me, and it says this. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But coming out of captivity is an exciting time, but there's a long road ahead of them. Y'all help me now. A long road ahead of you. And God says, listen, there's going to be times where you're going to go forth and weep. There's going to be times of tears. There's going to be times of struggle. But he said, you keep sowing that seed.
Amen.
And he said, doubtless, there's coming a time. At that farmer out there, at the picture of that farmer sowing that seed in tears, and then coming back to that field a few months later and reaping a harvest in joy. We may not see the outcome right now. It may not be real pretty 2, 3, 4 months down the road, but you keep going. I need somebody to help me this morning. God said there's a reassurance. There's a reassurance here that God will pay dividends.
Amen.
You keep going. You keep bearing that precious seed. That means sowing. That's what it means. Keep throwing. Keep going. He said, there's coming a time where you're going to come back with rejoicing.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I need a time of rejoicing.
Amen.
Heads bowed and eyes closed, somebody's heading to the piano. How about it, Christian? Are you in bondage this morning? Come find a place around the altar. Something's happened in your life that was beyond your control. Something's happened in your life, maybe it was in your control. Maybe it was something that you did. Maybe it was a failure. Don't get upset. Fact of the matter is, we all have bad decisions. Should have done this, should have done that, but we messed up. We made a decision that we regret. We decided to do something that has cost us, delayed our purpose. We're in captivity. Something in our past has held us back, a mistake. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I need somebody to help me right here. It doesn't matter what you did. It cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And the Bible says that His blood is capable, able of cleansing us from all sin. Won't you give it back to God? God sets you free. You're saved and you're on these altars. I want you to know something. The Lord wants me to tell you something this morning. Whom He set free, free indeed. Quit letting the devil lie to you. Quit letting him keep you in bondage. Don't allow it. God's giving you power over that. If you'll allow me just for a few seconds, I want to talk to those that maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I didn't say you didn't know Christ. A family living in the Bible Belt, most people's heard about Jesus. Most people know the story about Jesus, so I'm not going to say, I want you out of that thought. I want to ask you a question that maybe will open your eyes this morning. If you were to die sitting in the chair that you're sitting in, right now, I'm not talking about this afternoon, I'm talking about right now, do you know where you'd go? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? With heaven and hell in the balance, do you know whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell? I didn't ask you what you thought. I asked you what you know. Do you know? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Listen to me. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I was to die sitting right here today that I'd go to heaven, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to look right up at me. Just make eye contact with me. I ain't asking you to do nothing else. Be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. Preacher, I'm not sure. Preacher, there's a doubt. Is anybody like that? I see you. You put your head down. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Who else? Be honest with the preacher. Just make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Preacher, I'm not sure. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Is anybody else? Anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. I'm going to say this morning. The Bible says this in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23. For all sin that comes short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that sin came from a specific place. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. That one man was Adam. When Adam sinned in the garden, according to verse number 12 and chapter number 5 of Romans, the Bible says that sin was passed down from generation to generation, from person to person. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is you were born with that sin nature. That's why your parents had to teach you to do good. You already knew how to do bad. The Bible says there's a payment for that sin, though. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. That's complete separation from God. I want you to know something this morning. According to the Bible, if you die in your sin, you'll be separated from God. A place called hell. But that verse doesn't end there. It says, but the gift of God. See, God loved you so much, the Bible said, that He gave His only begotten Son. Now whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the end of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells how we can attain that. And it says this, that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So this morning, do you believe you're a sinner? This morning, do you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross to save you? If you do, why don't you confess, just like the Bible says? Say a prayer. Something similar to this. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it seems like we shouldn't have to tell Him that. We don't. He knows we're a sinner. He's already written His Word. But the Bible says we're to confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I cannot save myself. I believe that Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life. Died for me. This morning, maybe you pray this morning.
I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, save me, please. Be my Lord and Savior. Listen to me right here. In Jesus' name I pray. Head still bowed, eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to save me. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to raise your hand right up. That's all I'm asking you to do. Will you raise your hand up? Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you prayed that prayer, I got a book right here. You look up, ain't nobody else looking up. I got a book. If you raise your hand, I want you to look right up at me. I got a book right here I want to give you. If you'll let me do that, I want you to come right down here. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to give you this book. I ain't signing you up for nothing, I promise you. I ain't church membership. I ain't after a tithe. I ain't after a check. This book says, now that I'm saved, won't you come right here and let me give this to you? Would you do that, please? I'm begging you. Get up out of your seat. Come right here. And let me give you this book. Would you allow me to do that this morning? Allow me to pray with you? Would you listen to me? After church this morning, come find me. Don't get out of, don't rush out of here. Come find me. Let me help you. This book will help you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I sure am thankful, Lord, for what you've done this morning. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved for me. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us, help them. Help us to be the church, and, Lord, to help them in their discipleship and their spiritual growth. Lord, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jesse.
Church, this Lane, he got saved a couple weeks ago. He's come to call the Lord baptism. Lane, because your professional faith, I baptize you now, my brother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Ready for him baptism? Ready to call.
If you did get saved this morning, I want you to come find me. I got a book. I'm serious. I believe. I want to help you. This book will help you. It's got Bible verses in it. It's got all kinds of things in it. You can go right through it, and God will help you this morning. All right?
Yeah.
Jake, y'all got something?
Hey, how many of y'all was here in 2012 when Brother Robert came? Why don't y'all stand up real quick? Since 2012, look around at all the new people and the new faces that have come to this church and got saved, and have got faith in the church and baptized. See how awesome? Thank you. Y'all have a seat. Well, I don't know how many of you know it, but Brother Robin came, he brought his family down in January 1st, I think was your first service, 2012. It's been 7 years since he's been here, and we didn't say anything the last couple weeks because we've been saving it for today. And we got a couple things we're going to do. Number one is I want everybody that's in here to come back tonight because we're going to have ice cream and cake over in the fellowship hall to celebrate. Glory. Maybe some chocolate syrup too if you get lucky.
Amen.
Yeah, because those New Year's resolution diets out the window.
Amen.
And the other thing we want to do is this. I believe that God wants to honor the church that takes care of the man of God. Y'all agree? Y'all can do better than that. Say amen. So we want to take up a love offering for Brother Robbie and his family. Sorry, man. This is going to be half of Ms. Michelle. But we want to take up a love offering for them. Just
checkbooks out.
Just as a thank you for all that he's done for this church. You're ruining my testimony, man. I'm trying to help you. For all that he's done for this church, all his family has done for this church, and everything that they have sacrificed so that you can be in a comfortable place, so that you can hear the word of God, and so that you can just be in his presence. Not his, but God's. And I think he's done an excellent job of leading us. I think he's the best pastor that I've ever been around, ever been under, and I wouldn't want to sit under anybody else. So, I hope you don't come on down. Go ahead, give him some praise for the man that he's recruited. believe that the primary reason that God has blessed this church is because Brother Robbie has let God work through him. And so if y'all think that's true, if you agree, go ahead and break your checkbooks out. Maybe just go ahead and throw your whole wallet in there. We'll sort everything out later. And amen. Play the piano. Let's get it.